Nothing I have to say is worth all of this. For those of you who are wondering, outside of the classroom, this bandage is just some minor surgery on my head. All is well. In the past couple of weeks, I've had a very strong, I don't know what you want to call it, channel opening, if you will, to myself, to ourself, the self. It was profoundly affirming. Affirming in that, in the deepest sense, it made me aware of the value of meditative practice and of learning how to surrender, how to let go, how to be still, how to be in the world. In a sense, the world is nothing but a school of how to be. How to be you in the most open and fundamental aspect of what and who you are, which goes on a long journey through this ego-minded self-centeredness, this being of deep self-regard, into something that becomes open and compassionate and loving to others, and then realizing that others are who you are. This is the journey that we're on. It's a journey into opening to the what is. There was a moment where I referred to it as this is that, which is a profound understanding, but then I was corrected and it just said this is this, period. Everything that you are looking for, everything that you are hoping for, everything that you imagine is right here. This is the totality, period. And you are either open to and available to this in some absolute and fundamental way, or you are obstructed by your own delusions, dramas, fantasies, fears, doubts, etc. And the job of human life is clear the channel. I had lunch with a friend, Joe Madry, the other day. He's working on a biography of me, which I don't think will ever get finished because I have no idea where it's headed. But we talked about this idea of each of us is a point of access, a point of access to the infinite, endless truth of being, the endless unknown, the endless unknowable, this ever-changing, ever-constant truth. And some of us filter that light, if you will, or channel that light directly into the world through lots and lots of practice and time and effort and devotion, and some of us are obstructed continually. No one does it as a bad guy. No one is a bad guy. I mean, there are people who act badly, but it's commonly referred to as ignorance. Profound ignorance of one's absolute channel to the truth of being. And if you don't experience that channel, the goal, the opportunity, the purpose, the value of human existence is to get in touch with it, to find your way to this enormity of what you are. It's the whole of what we're doing. And people who have found their way, who have become, if you will, conduits of that phenomenal truth, they are points of access for everyone else to try to find their own path to that same spot. All of the goodly, kindly, saintly people in the world who know what this is do their best to give you a moment of access. A moment of access that can expand and enlarge and ultimately become a point through which it will avail itself to others. This is a really interesting weekend for me because 50 years ago yesterday, I met Rudy in the afternoon, and I met Blanche in the evening. How that occurred, I have no idea. But two points of access intersected and gave me a life. And that channel that came from that confluence is operating in a very dynamic way, and it becomes more and more and more dynamic, and it knows what it's doing. When I sit with you, it has an I in it, but there is an it bigger than I, absolutely wants to free you from your confusion, from your suffering, from your doubt, from your sadness. It wants to open you back up to that which you are. It will, at the last moment of your life, do that. It reveals itself as it has always been. It reveals itself as infinite, endlessly, eternally present in your life. But we experience life through the grace of this higher energy as a knowable, doable, fixable, malleable reality. And this reality that we're in and that we're playing in, this field of the Lord, if you will, is reduced down to a substance that has taste and feeling and emotionality and fear and has all of these elements working around that are recognizable and accessible, and through the power of our empowerments in our navel chakra, we can manipulate them and do things. We can build life. We can take life apart. We can create beauty. We can witness beauty. We can love. We can hate. We can have unbelievable exposure to the drama of being. But it's all a compressed, focused storytelling narrative that, when we let go, opens back up into truth, vast truth. And if we don't experience that truth, it doesn't mean it's not there. This is that truth, but it's that truth in a graspable, smellable, tasteable way. But allow it to expand back into the channel of awareness, and you are in touch with why and what you are. And most of you, I believe, have had that shock of knowing, which is why I think you're sitting in this room. Why else would you be here other than to want to return to the truth and clarity of what is? And it is, as a point of access, channeling into this room, not just through this person sitting here, but through each of you sitting there. And it comes in and it creates a pool of enormous energy. And it's this extraordinary energy that we are bathing in. And it is a rare space on the planet where, for a moment, the day-to-day narrative just kind of relaxes, and we just get to sit in this waterfall of being and go, oh, oh. The human mind works on this horizontal level. Rudy used to talk about this spiritual work as the vertical. We go up, and every level has its own horizontal. so that many people live on the horizontal life level density of human experience. And it is a horribly difficult place. And all of you know that. The body decays, the mind gets confused, people don't like us, we get fired, we have no money. All of these things happen on that horizontal, and you suffer like mad. And then if you get these little tiny verticals up, you go, oh. And you look down on that suffering, and you go, I get it. I get it. You start to see actually something that comes out of it that was important, valuable, insightful, awakening. And you go, I get it. Okay. Okay. And then that level starts to find its own tensions and dramas, and you keep expanding until you start to realize that it's all one level, one thing. It's not a story that's being told of higher and higher awareness. It is an infinite singular expression. And that singular expression is what and who you are, or what and who we are, because we are not separate in it. We're separate in it down here, but as you move up the channel, it's all one, one, and dynamically one, and unbelievably intelligent, unbelievably wise, unbelievably knowing, and it knows you as you know yourself, but way beyond that, because when it starts to reveal yourself to you, you are shocked that it knows every corner and crevice, every secret, every molecule of who and what you are. And if there is a you and an it, which is the dynamic most people experience, that little you is hugely ashamed and fearful of how much is known, of all these little tiny horrible choices that you've made in your life, these moments that you hide from in yourself, that you don't want to accept. There's all these crevices of shadow inside you that are suddenly exposed to this vast light of you. And I have to tell you, if you haven't worked out the mechanism of going, okay, that's me, that's what it is, I surrender, I give up, I couldn't do otherwise, accept me as I am. If you haven't gotten to that, you are going to be in unbelievable hellish suffering, because you will be hiding and hiding from what is, and what is ultimately forgiving. And the only way to be forgiven is for you to forgive. Forgive you and forgive everyone. Forgive life. Forgive the unforgivable. To let go of everything that is afraid. To let go of everything that is feeling guilty, that feels that it didn't know how to do it, that it did it wrong, that made the wrong choices. You let go of that. And what happens when you let go of all of that stuff is called liberation. Freedom from the burden of being you. None of this was about a punishment. None of this was about trial or tribulation or turmoil. It was about an opportunity to be alive, an opportunity to witness the amazing truth of being. That's what this is. It's an opportunity to become part of that which you have always been, to witness the truth of all of this, and to look at it with the wonder and eyes of a 2-year-old and the wonder and eyes of a 90-year-old. To experience the whole spectrum of what it means to be alive and embodied and temporary. This is what we're here for. And when you realize how much you serve the larger truth in your journey to be here, you start to forgive yourself for all the stuff you could never have understood, never have worked out better. You start to go, what can I do? That's the way it is. And you surrender and surrender and surrender. And so when this thing lifts you back up into its arms, into its embrace, instead of going like this, like, oh no, what did I do wrong? You just go, yes. You go, yes. My experience of being lifted up was just a reminder of everything I'm telling you. Just, I had forgotten how big it was. I had forgotten how intimate it was, how immediate it was. And the word was is a mistake because it's an is. And it was so loving and affirming and basically said, everything I have done is what was to be done. I understood that my sitting for 50 years, my meditation, my heart opening, my chakras opening, my teaching, all of that had become acceptable to the what is. It had become the way through which it was able to enter into the density of our horizontal life and begin to bring light and uplift and joy, if you will, or simplicity or clarity or love, and help infiltrate the density of daily life so that it could begin to lift off a little bit and begin to feel the core element of deep gratitude and love that is felt for each of you. If you don't feel this, it's not because it's not there, it's because you're too lost in your own noise. You're too lost in your own distraction. You're too caught up in the world. And everything has been telling you that from day one, from Shakespeare to Jesus, on and on, the teachings, Buddha, trying to tell you all of this. And some of you, enough of you are listening that you're hearing this again from another voice. All of these are these huge points of floodlights of light coming into the dark density of the human experience and saying, surrender, let go, open up, open your eyes, open your heart, open your mind, open your gut to this whole vast universe that we are in, and understand that you are not simply a part of it, you are one with, unsubtracted from, you are absolutely connected to, and the very essence of all that is. Whew. What to do with that? What to do with that? Well, the first thing you do with it is figure it out and learn it and know it. And not as something, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's interesting what he's saying. I like what he's saying. I'd like to feel that. That's horizontal bottom rung. Every rung is a little bit more of, aha, oh yeah, ah, really? Oh, oh my God. Oh, this is real. Oh, this is beautiful. Oh, thank God. Oh, quiet. Oh, quiet. Shh, shh, shh. That's the journey. Shut up. Get quiet. Be, surrender, let go, and find who you are. And then let that awareness come back down into this world as a point of access for you and everyone else. For everyone else. And if you can begin to imagine how much people need you, how unimportant you are exactly in this scheme of things, how what your value and purpose is in life is to provide. Our separateness is the problem. We are not separate from each other at all. I know it doesn't look like that. I know the flavor is that person is pistachio and this person's strawberry and that person is dark chocolate, and we all feel different, but that's the amazement of it and the joy of it. You know, if you put me in an ice cream store and I really didn't have diabetes, I would eat every flavor. I wouldn't stop because it's all so wonderful. But the universe only allows so many licks, so many tastes, because otherwise we would just become unendingly indulgent. And in a way we are. It's kind of why we get born over and over again. Oh, I want to marry that one, or I want to sleep with this one, or I want to have that one, or I want to do this and try that. And, oh, look at this over here. It's unending candy store, this world. And it traps us from remembering that which brought it all into being. And that which brought it all into being is never, ever for 1 millisecond separate from the being. Never. It is never separate. It is watching, observing, infiltrating, woven into the fabric of every millisecond of your life. And nobody lives life with full awareness and consciousness. Most of us have to unscramble ourselves in some way to get back to clarity. And whatever it may take to do that, whatever it may take, you know, from car accidents to people leaving you to unbelievable sadness to grief to, you know, the drug experience, whatever, there's so much out there that will go, boom, get you there. There's also something that's called knowledge and wisdom that says, just sit down, be still, take a breath, and find your way home. It's so simple. It's so simple, so available, so constant, so much part of our life. You know, you can say, just breathe. It's amazing. I mean, I think I talked about this a while back. I do a lot of walking, and a lot of what I try doing is just breathing while I walk. Just if I could transfer the joy that comes out of that breath to you, just hand it over, trust me, I would do that. But in a way, I am doing that. It is so simple. It's just a piece of information. Go for a walk and breathe. I like it better than sitting and breathing. It's more dynamic. I walk and I breathe, and every exhalation brings me closer to the letting go that is at the center of life. One is the inhalation and the creation of being, and the other is letting it all go. And we all know life is having and losing, getting and leaving, giving up. We have to know how to balance those forces. We have to know how to let go graciously. And the more you inhale and love and embrace your life, the harder it will seem to let it go. On the other hand, when you realize nothing ever is lost, the letting go becomes part of the deliciousness of the breathing in. I watched my father-in-law in his last three breaths, and they went out. And there was a real question mark whether there would ever be another one coming back. There two did come back after very long exhalations. They went, and then, the last one didn't come back. I watched that and I said, I get it. I get it. It's fearsome giving over to that last breath. But ultimately, one, you have no choice, but two, there's something that goes, if you can get there, thy will be done. I surrender. I hand myself to you. I give myself back to what is. I free myself from the dream of this wonderful life into something that brought it into being. We're on that ride, everybody. We're on that ride. And we are either acknowledging it and involving it and engaging it, or we are blind to it. Being blind to it is not wise. You do not want to get to that last moment of your life and suddenly come upon what I'm talking about. It's late, late, late in the game. It's common. People do it, and it may be fine. It may be fine. But I'm telling you, being an access point to that truth and that light while you're walking on this earth is as great as it gets. And it may be what we're supposed to learn how to do. So, as a point of light, speaking to you, listen to me. Do what I'm talking about. This is not hard. It's not hard. Find your way into the still pointedness. Breathe, open, say yes. Don't be afraid of the world. Don't be afraid of the unknown. Don't be afraid of the uncharted territory. It's all uncharted. It's just happening. And yes, at some point you will be demolished. You will be taken away from all of this. But, and I promise you this, when you get taken away from this horizontal density into the space that generated it, it's not a loss, it's nothing but gain. Nothing but gain. You go back to the what is, and it incorporates everything that, of what was. Everything. So, you know, how many hours of this do you want to hear? It's enough, the message is out there. I don't know what more to say. I can't stand that I sit here every week and try to say it again in a different way, but I do feel I have become a little more empowered in the last few weeks. I cannot tell you why, to just put it out there in a big way. This is really, really important, valuable, meaningful, worth it, worth committing a life to discovering. What you're doing by showing up here is you will not regret ever, because you're on your path to being a point of light in the world, a point of access for yourself and others. So thank you for coming. And now, questions. Anyone have questions about all this stuff?
What do you see as the biggest blocks that we have?
Ignorance. We're just so, we come into this world, you know, I told you in the introductory class, we drink mother's milk and we go, oh, this is good. We like it here, and we start to taste all these things and get committed to it, and then we start discovering there's stuff we don't like, you know, like mother's milk doesn't come exactly the time you want it, you know, and you start crying and yelling, and then the crying makes you feel good in some funny way, which I've never understood, but it empties you out and fills you up, and then the milk comes and it's as delicious as ever, and then it just starts going from there, and you're very caught in the materialized world. We're all caught. It's so amazing, this world. It's so amazing. We hardly ever stop to see it anymore, but it's really incredible, and we really love it, and it's a temporary creation, and the temporariness gives it beauty and gives it preciousness, and it also betrays us because we can't keep it. But that's how it works. So we get caught, and in getting caught, and we get caught in a body that starts to feel pain, you know, and you get to my age and you spend all your time suddenly dealing with bodily problems. And they're taking it away from you, not gently or gracefully, but it's hurting, you know? And that's the entrapment in the body. But if you sit still and you start to just be with all of this stuff and stop being mental and in your mind, which is like a computer that's been programmed that you don't control, if you just quiet down so you can look at the computer, you can go switch off. Oh, that's a big deal. You can switch it off. You know, it'll try to turn itself back on again, and you go, no, turn off, off. And then you start to become that which is bigger than the computer. And you start to witness that which is radiating down into this world is a living thing that is always present. And the witnessing of that is like worth everything.
I have a question regarding what is going on for you here. We are cause of everything that happened to us or not happened to us. And do you know what caused that for you?
Was this? Probably not wearing a hat for many years.
Was that?
Not wearing a hat.
Really?
Sunlight. It's a small cancer on the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you who've been around before the ozone layer changed, you know, we could walk outside forever, you know, without hats. And then the ozone layer started to shift, unfortunately, and it became a problem. And I didn't pay a lot of attention. I never got into hats until I started getting really bald. And then I started putting them on. But, you know, this takes a long time to form these things. And so things happen. On the other hand, I'm becoming enormously aware of my uppermost chakra. <You know? laughs> So I'm walking around feeling this energy pouring into me all day long. It's really powerful. So I'm not arguing with it. I'm not angry. I'm not feeling betrayed by having a problem. I've got all sorts of problems now. I mean, really, as you get older, and all my friends, we spend all our life going to doctors, you know. But on the other hand, I am in many ways healthier than I've ever been. You know, I walk 5 miles a day. I eat well. I do all the right things. And it's taken a long time to learn to do that. But I do that. And I think most people, as they get older, either do that or they spend all their time, you know, in hospitals or wherever, you know, in states of misery. So you don't have to be miserable. Stuff happens, and you will be demolished in time, and you will watch that take place.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you don't have the strength and the capacity to watch yourself disintegrating, you are going to lose integration with a lot of misery. Every molecule is going to cause you misery. If you have learned to say, yes, you watch it with amazement. Wow, they're taking that, and this, and that, and this. You know, Blanche and I are at the point where we both walk into the room to say, I can't remember. And we walk out of the room, and we have literally no idea why we just were there. And that happens all the time now. It's not like once in a while we go, whoa, that was weird. No. Truly, it's not even weird anymore. So be prepared. It gets like that and way beyond that. Way beyond.
I hear you.
Yeah, so, and it's not a bad thing. It's really not. We've all had a ride. We've all had this amazing ride. We're all on that ride. But they've always said it comes to an end. There's never a lie about that. You know, so it does. It comes to an end. So now I'm getting a cramp in my leg. There we go. That is really amazing. Wow. Okay. It's awful. Usually in the middle of the night. So, anyway, guys, look. There's nothing I'm saying here comes out of a new place. It's the most ancient stuff preached in the world. People have rituals and all these ideas around it, but the simple truth of this is we are manifested for a short period of time to see and witness something that is unexplainable and beyond beauty. That's all. Here we are. Enjoy it or don't enjoy it. You've got a choice. You can hate every minute. Yeah. You know, there are people who hate every minute. Okay. It's kind of, you know, own it. You know, you may have good reason to hate every minute, but on the other hand, people I know who hate every minute love hating it. They love it. They wouldn't trade it for the world. That's okay. Anybody else?
I have a question. It seems like I've noticed that sometimes when this channel opens and blissful consciousness comes in, it also seems to sometimes illuminate more of the density.
Oh yeah. No, well, it does. It gives you a very clear picture of the dark side, of all the stuff that we live in the heavy realm. It shows you what it is, mostly as a kind of an appreciation of its value and purpose. It shows you the value of suffering. It shows you the value of constriction. It shows you that the realm that we live in is not independent from this higher vertical. It really is an expression of it. And therefore, you can go, ah. And you become able to appreciate what you've been in, what you've been going through, what the drama is, if that gets to the core of what you're saying. But it really is a potent awakening to the reality that this thing filters through the entire dimensionality of reality. It's not just there and we're here. It's all layered in as one ultimate thing. Is that what you're trying to get at?
Yes, it is, but I'm having a harder time understanding the value, because it seems like the value would be in the expansion, not in the constriction.
That's a really interesting point. So many people's spiritual lives are based on getting out of here. The idea of a upward movement that frees them from the world. The reality is the world is the thing you're trying is the thing you're trying to free yourself from is the reality that you're going into. This is that. This is the very thing that you think that represents. And so people get these tastes of spiritual awakening and freedom and liberation, and then they have to go to work the next day. And the car runs out of gas or breaks down or whatever it is. And then you go, well, what about that? That and this are the exact same thing. And if you take a breath in this moment of density and car breaking down and going to work, and you go, the moment-to-moment truth of it is that down here and up there are exactly the same. It's not one is light and one is dark. They are part and parcel of light and darkness together. Always together. The idea of escaping into spirituality is where many people get in trouble. Because spirituality is not hierarchical. It doesn't release you into something free of this. It releases you into being free in this. In this. And you do that by going into it moment to moment and not carrying past into the future and not taking the present into the future. Just be here. You know, Ram Dass, be here now. That's all there is. Or Eckhart Tolle, the power of now. This is the only reality you will ever truly know. And the experience of the spiritual unfolding is not a future experience or traveling into future states. It's the now unfolding into itself, into a bigger expression of what it always has been. But we live in the condensed version of that, and that's where human life primarily exists. And the opportunity to live in this space and know what I'm talking about, to see it clearly, to witness it, to look in somebody else's eyes and see the truth of your connection, to see the singularity of all of this, that is extraordinary. So everything that tries to remove you from this to get there will ultimately become a problem. I gave a talk once called "The Journey Is Not From Here to There, It's From There to Here." This is where we're trying to get to, right here, now. And you get there by letting go, opening, letting the channel of light flood this moment and clarify for you the amazing truth of where you're sitting as you sit and as you walk and as you drive. You know, even the worst traffic jam in LA, you know, is a gift of sorts because you're in it. You are in a universe, dense universe, and you're alive in it. And you can learn to do that, or you can, you know, pull out a gun and shoot the person next to you. You know, the road rage. You know, that doesn't end well. What does end well is take a breath and look at all the colors and the cars around you. You know, I mean, I'm really learning to look and see and touch and taste the world in whatever form it presents itself. Not the way the mind wants to interpret it, but the way it is. And it's endlessly rich, endlessly fascinating and full of discovery. One discovery after another, and you walk around constantly going, wow. Does that help a little?
It does help. I think the thing is, the expansion, has that sense of peace with it. The contraction does not have.
Yes, but it does. Just enter into the now and you will find total peace. The now is peaceful. The worst of it is peaceful. In its own, you have to really enter into it. I mean, there are moments where, I mean, I've had them recently of real pain, you know, where you just, you know, it's not peaceful in a way, but I can see myself looking at it, observing it, being present with it, and that present tense, which has to be animated moment to moment, that present tense is not pain. That present tense is observing pain. The pain and the observation may seem like the same thing, but the observation is still and the pain is active. But the observation itself is a witnessing that has great compassion, quietude, stillness, and allows things to exist without a reaction to them. And that's very powerful, worth learning. Anyone else? Brilliant minds. Thank you, guys. We'll be back. When are we coming back?
Last weekend in October.
We have a big agenda. We're going to Indiana University next week, the end of next week. They think I'm a graduate of the film program. It didn't even have a film program. But they are honoring me and showing my films and having me talk to classes. I graduated in instructional systems technology. And I even to this day can't tell you what that is. And then we're going to Moscow for a week. They're showing Ghost is opening at the musical in Moscow. So they're flying us to Moscow to be there. I'm really looking forward to it. And then we're going to upstate New York, where I'm going to try to do a retreat on jet lag, which will be really, really interesting for those of you who want to show up. And then we'll be back here. And then a week or so later, we'll be in this room. So I look forward to showing up. And then I'm going to get very quiet for a while and not do very much. But you'll see me once a month if all goes well. Thank you.